Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Friday, November 15th, and on this Friday we have a special guest reading for us, Miss Jan Rice. Jan and her husband Grantland have been members of Mountain Brook Baptist about 40 years. I can't wait till the end of the podcast when she talks about things of life and faith. Thank you, Jan, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Mary. Today's scripture is Isaiah 5. The title is The Song of the Vineyard. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and the people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice but saw bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress. Woes and judgments. Woe to you who add house to house and join field to field, to no space is left, and you live alone in the land. The Lord Almighty has declared in my hearing, surely the great houses will become desolate, the fine mansions left without occupants. The 10-acred vineyard will produce only a bath of wine. A homer of seed will yield only an ephah of grain. Woe to those who rise early in the morning to run after their drinks, who stay up late at night till they are inflamed with wine. They have harps and lyres at their banquets, pipes and timbrels and wine, but they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of his hands. Therefore, my people will go into exile for lack of understanding. Those of high rank will die of hunger. The common people will be parched with thirst. Therefore, death expands its jaws, opening wide its mouth. Unto it will descend their nobles and masses, with all their brawlers and revelers. Some people will be brought low, and everyone humbled, the eyes of the arrogant humbled. But the Lord Almighty will be exalted by his justice, and the holy God will be proved holy by his righteous acts. Then sheep will graze as in their own pasture. Lambs will feed among the ruins of the rich. Woe to those who draw sin along with cords of deceit, and wickedness as with cart ropes. To those who say, let God hurry, let him hasten his work so we may see it. The plan of the Holy One of Israel, let it approach, let it come into view, so we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deny justice to the innocent. Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw, and as dry grass sinks down in the flames, so their roots will decay and their flowers blow away like dust, for they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty and spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the Lord's anger burns against his people. His hand is raised and he strikes them down. The mountains shake, and the dead bodies are like refuse in the streets. Yet, to all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. He lifts up a banner for the distant nations. He whistles for those at the ends of the earth. Here they come, swiftly and speedily. Not one of them grows tired or stumbles. No one slumbers or sleeps. Not a belt is loosened at the waist. Not a sandal strap is broken. Their arrows are sharp, all their bows are strong. Their horses' hooves seem like flint. Their chariot wheels like a whirlwind. Their roar is like that of a lion. They roar like young lions. They growl as they seize their prey and carry it off with no one to rescue. In that day, they will roar over it like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks at the land, there is only darkness and distress. Even the sun will be darkened by clouds.
Thank you so much, Jan, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. Would you tell everyone about yourself, a little bit about your history and your family?
I'm married to Grantland Rice. We've been married about 42 years. We have a son, Grantland. My daughter-in-law is Lauren, and then I have a daughter, Casey. Her husband is John.
And I know you have lots of grandkids. I want to hear about them.
Oh, I do. We have seven. And I love that the number in the Bible 7 stands for perfect. So, and I just feel like this is a perfect number for us. And we're thrilled with each one of them. And they're such a joy. We have a 14-year-old, two 12-year-olds, 10-year-old, 9, 8, and then we have a 2-year-old. So this has really been a joy for us. We love taking trips with our grandchildren, and we take each grandchild on a 10-year-old trip. So we have 4 trips behind us with 3 more to go.
Okay, tell me about your growing up years. Did you grow up in Birmingham?
No, I grew up in a small town in Mississippi called Fulton. It's about 2 hours from here. And I left about 18 or 19 years old to go to the University of Alabama, met my husband there, and never went back. In the meantime, my parents moved from Fulton to Birmingham to open retail clothing stores in Birmingham.
And I know that you have your own store. Did you start early working in their store?
I did. I started when I was in Fulton in the 7th grade. I started going to market in Dallas to help my mother buy. And then when I graduated from the university, I opened a shop in Tuscaloosa with my brothers. And then when I got married and moved to Birmingham, I opened my shop here.
And will you tell us its name and where it's located?
My shop is called Canterbury of Crestline. It's on Euclid, and it's behind my nephew's shop, which is Mobley and Sons.
What are some of your hobbies and interests?
Well, I've taken up golf in the last few years, and I'm not good, but I do love playing. I enjoy just pretty days and getting out there, and I like to walk and push a cart, so I feel like I'm getting some exercise at the same time. And I've also just recently learned how to play Mahjong, and I've really enjoyed that game.
Do you have a happy spot somewhere that you like to go?
We do. We have recently added some more acres to our farm, and we now have this older house, and our entire family has just loved this place. We have added horses and cows. We recently have had 10 new calves with another 9 of the cows expecting shortly. But every family member loves this place. We will spend Thanksgiving there, and we will get together there for Christmas also. It's a place that you don't have to take care of and in the house. I'm not concerned with the grandchildren running through with their muddy shoes. And it's just a fun spot. And it shows you just getting in nature. Just your blood pressure comes down. And you just wake up every morning and you see nothing but what God has created. And it's been a great spot for us.
How did you come to faith in Christ, and what have been some milestones along the way?
I became a Christian when I was 8 or 9 years old. I remember growing up in our small town, we would have revivals or ministers that would come in for the week. And I remember this particular minister came and that I accepted Christ and in my home with him. My mother was always gracious to cook for whoever was at the church that week. So he was there with us. And I do, to this day, I remember praying with him.
As we talk about you becoming a believer and your mom having an integral part in teaching you about hospitality, I know there were many other attributes that you learned from her. One was praying for the nations. Tell me a little bit about her prayer for the nations and maybe her scripture memory as well.
My mom was a special lady. She worked hard in her shop, which she also had in Mountain Brook Village. But at the same time, she spent so much time praying for others. She had a prayer partner for 25 years, and they spent those 25 years praying for every nation, every country in the world. They would study these nations, these countries, and they would spend time praying for their needs. They finished just a few months before she passed away. My mom also taught me to memorize scripture. She memorized Philippians when she was 88. And that is quite an accomplishment.
Unbelievable.
I still struggle with memorizing scripture. I do like to have a lot of scripture memorized because that's what I like to pray back to God in my prayers. It's just a way that I like to pray.
Is there a verse that sticks out to you right now that you pray often to the Lord?
I actually have several. I will pray in the morning first thing, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad." And then I will pray that he would cover us, as in Psalms 23, and he would give us everything we need, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, socially, and spiritually. And then I like Psalms 143, "Let the morning bring me word of his unfailing love as I put my trust in him. Teach me to do your will." And then Lamentations 3:21 through 26, "Yet this I know, therefore I have hope, because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." I call these launching verses. I was taught by a lady, Olivia Riddle, to use these launching verses every day. I have several more. There, some of them are confession scriptures, such as, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious way. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Another is, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And then 1 Thessalonians 5, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we ask of him."
These are powerful reminders of his goodness. And I love the way you called them launching prayers, because you take that verse and then expound upon it. Is that how it works?
Just to launch my day with scripture back to our Lord. That is just one of the ways that I pray.
Tell me a little bit more about how you structure your prayers or the different ways that you pray.
I frequently pray the 365 names and titles and attributes of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is from a book called Prayer Portions by Sylvia Gunter. I like to pray through the alphabet. Some of my favorites are Author and Finisher of Faith, Beautiful, Counselor, Defender, Eternal God, Father, Giver of Life, Healer, I Am, Jealous God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Messiah, Name Above All Names, and then continuing through the alphabet. I like to use these names and titles as a way of praising God for who he is and what he does. Also, very important to me is praying for my grandchildren. My bottom line prayer is that there will never be a day that they do not call him Lord. I use several different books on prayers for the grandchildren, and our family prayer is Numbers 6, 24 through 26. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift the light of His countenance upon you and give you peace. One last way that I like to pray is I save our Christmas cards that we receive each year, and throughout the year, I use this as an opportunity to pray for these families. I will randomly select a card, and I will spend that time praying for that family. And I frequently had the opportunity to tell someone in that family that I was praying for them.
I know that you also have a prayer partner that you walk with that's been a long-standing relationship. Tell me how you got started in your prayer partnership and how it's been a blessing.
We have been praying for about 23 years. We walk and pray. We try to get together once a week. We had run a marathon together, so after we finished that marathon, we decided that we would walk about 5 miles once a week and pray. We no longer make 5 miles. We're probably three now, but it was one of the first things we pray for every day is that we're thankful that we can still get out and walk and pray. And the beauty of this relationship is that frequently one of us is down or is in a difficult spot, and the other one can just pray and take on the burdens of the one that is just so heavy. And
well, I know that many times I have texted you and your partner and just said, could you pray over this? And it has been such a helpful and peace-giving thing to know that you are praying alongside me. So I just want to thank you for that. Would you like to make any comments on the passage?
In this passage, God talked about caring for a vineyard and that it yield only bad fruit. To produce good fruit, we must have thoughts, words, and actions agreeable to the Spirit. And that can only be done with the help of the Spirit. On our own, we cannot do what we strive to do day in and day out, but through our prayers and the calling on the Spirit, can we walk in this way.
Before we end, I'd love to know, is there a praise song that you listen to on repeat?
Over the last year, my favorites have been Nicole C. Mullen, especially the song, The God Who Sees. She wrote this with Kathy Lee Gifford and recorded it in Israel, and it is a beautiful song, plus the scenery is unbelievable. And then also Cece Winans, Come, Jesus, Come. I love that's one of her latest songs. And then the last few weeks, Jen Wilkin Revelation Study has a playlist on Spotify that she has pulled from this study in Revelation. And the first song on it is Before the Throne of God Above. And also one of the songs is from Revelation 5. And for a difficult book of the Bible, this song makes this Revelation 5 come alive.
Thank you so much, Jan, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us and sharing with us about life and faith. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Father, as from our scripture today, help us to call light, light, and darkness, darkness, not according to our own opinions or our thoughts or even our desires, but according to God's word. And what God has said is true about what's good and evil, what's light and darkness, and what's sweet and bitter. So, Heavenly Father, we pray Romans 12, transform us by the renewing of your mind so that we will call evil, evil, and good, good. Forgive us, O Lord, for the ways we have been conformed to the pattern of this world. May we renew our minds with the Word of God. And Father, we pray that the God of hope will fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in Him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.